ahead and start. Sorry, the attorney was going to call in first and start. Good evening, counsel. Good evening, city attorney. Come before you tonight to discuss something, the appeal that we brought forward. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of, low volume, but I think you're on. Go ahead, Glenn.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. So the appeal before you tonight is not necessarily about an entity or a person. Butterfields have been a longtime community family. I went to high school with them. The ravine is a great amenity, and we definitely, you know, approve it and are for it and have always backed it. How the appeal began is when this issue came before the Planning Commission, we asked a couple items. We asked what happened with the parking lot on Paso Robles Boulevard. We've never seen anything that showed any permit. We've never seen an application with the city fees. We said, could you please condition this project to not include that? And the reason being, again, it had no approvals, it had no mitigation, it had no traffic, it had no pitfalls, it had nothing. It caused congestion on Highway 46, it caused congestion on Paso Robles Boulevard. And we did bring the questions to the Planning Commission. They asked some internal questions, but at the end of the night, they approved it. And so there was no condition that was clarifying what had been ongoing since 2004. Now, the staff did recommend or did reference that in 2007, there was, quote, a temporary use permit. And what that temporary use permit is or was that was presented to us was merely an inner office memo that doesn't show any proof it ever went out. It wasn't a permit that was issued. It was strictly a memo between that was being drafted. And the memo was going to subject the temporary use permit with an expiration of September 30th, 2007. Well, the parking's been ongoing. So since 2004 until they actually removed items here just in February after the Planning Commission and us bringing the items forward, it'd been being used. So it was an ongoing use. When we asked the staff, you know, how do we make it a condition? Can you make it a condition? And then we don't need to do the appeal, but the staff said the only way to make it up record is you need to do the appeal. So that's how we got before you at this point tonight. When we did the appeal, we went ahead and brought other items up because we look at it as all individuals, businesses, and developers are conditioned by city ordinances such as building code, airport land use plan, gateway plan, and other items. They're also subject to environmental reviews, state, Kitfox, Fish and Wildlife, just to name a few. Before you is an amendment that isn't just about a pool, it's also about the conditional use permit and the original going back to 2004. So everything's relating back to 2004. So it's kind of been an ongoing that keeps referring back, but nothing is having it address the current code and the current items that are before you, such as airport land use, gateway design standards. Nothing is addressing, including the traffic. The project has a combination of unenforced ordinances, ongoing amendments, and overall has been lacking the full review of the original approvals. It keeps referring back to 2004, but never really reviews what was approved in 2004. In 2004, there was a traffic study that reflected 234 daily trips total. So they built a parking lot with 171 paved spaces. They had 234 daily trips. Then after that, in 2018, they were allowed to add 96 spaces on Union Road because that would help what the parking mess was. But nothing addressed that we're increasing parking. Nothing addressed that, oh, another access off Highway 46. You know, we're increasing traffic. Then again in 2020, they requested another 200 spaces, again to alleviate the traffic that had been going on. But now you just more than doubled what their original number of trips were. And it was only looked at like we doubled, you know, we relieved what's going on. We didn't look at, wow, we haven't addressed what's going on. So now we just increased it to 291 approved spaces over there off of Union Road, another airport access, in addition to, since 2004, they'd been using the Paso Robles Boulevard access, stuffing about 150 vehicles there, clogging the entrance to our ranch, which is why we brought this up. You know, that is the main, one of our main entrances that we use. We still run our cattle operations out there. And when the parking was, you know, crazy, people blocked the gateway and we couldn't get in. So with all of that, there was about 600 vehicle parking going on and still nobody addressing the fact that the traffic study is only for 234. And that's yet a third entrance off of Highway 46. You have the Pastorals Boulevard, you have the Union Road, you have the Airport Road. So this is, everything just keeps saying, well, it's back to the 2004, but where does it address that there was a change made, and anything or approvals should address that. The ravine, again, ongoing amendments, which have been substantial since the beginning, non-mitigated expansions, removal of pervious surfaces. If you go back to the original approval in 2004 that everything refers back to, it said all pervious surfaces will remain. Well, as it's expanded, there's been more concrete and beautiful, wonderful amenities, but more concrete not being addressed, which I think has been part of the result why in February we had photos taken which was showing discharge coming out on a great sunny day. They were doing concrete and discharges coming out into the Wero Wero. Because again, the drainage, there was a question there, you know, as to what is going on, what direction is it going. There was an addition, a reference in the 100-year floodplain, which was part of the resolution 04-043. It was under the Public Works Department, item D2, which stated, and this is in the 2004 original, the proposed structures and grading shall not encroach into the 100-year floodplain as specified in the municipal code. So when you go back, basically the entire water park, unfortunately, is in the floodplain except for the paved area on top. And so again, buildings have been added and added, and each time said, well, they're approved, which is great, but do they meet what the city's requirements are? Do they meet what the 04 is? So some items were referring that we are going to 04, and other items it seems like we're ignoring what the 04 conditions were that were put on this development. The safety zone in 2003, which is what the 2004 approval would have been under, the safety zone at that update was actually 10 people per gross acre, which is pretty miserable. I mean, it was actually later improved to be much larger. So with the current safety zone in a zone 3 at 16 acres, they would be allowed about an average of 900 people. And one of the issues that we asked, just again, probably more out of curiosity and trying to understand the project, was what is the occupancy? And no one to this date has answered that to us. We ask it at the Planning Commission level, we ask it to the staff before this meeting, and up until our appeal, we still have not been answered. I don't know that anybody knows. At one point somebody said, well, it's an outdoor event, there is none. And if there is none, then why does items such as the Allegretto have to do an outdoor event, 300 person parking plan in advance, et cetera? It's just a little bit of confusion compared, you know, as we're trying to understand, and we're trying to understand also for projects going forward, like what are the rules? But there has been no answer as to what the occupancy is and or what is allowed at that place, at that property. The effects, in one of the, I believe it was Kirk Consulting, they responded and said the effects really don't have a lot. Weekday, they're more busy on weekends and airport businesses aren't around. Well, the Highway 46 corridor is probably the busiest on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if any of you have driven out there, the traffic backs up way past Airport Road on a consistent basis. And so you have both the traffic on weekdays of Airport Road, which sometimes people say it can take an hour to get out, and depending on what time of day you hit and what's going on with the ravine. And in addition, then on the weekends, you have, you know, we're a tourist destination location. Highway 46 is packed on the weekends. So that is something to be aware of. A local businessman that travels on Airport Road regularly said, gosh, often you see people changing because, you know, it takes them so long to pass by the parking lot. You see people changing in the parking lot. Well, Paso Robles does have a gateway plan, the 2008 gateway plan. And the project actually did have some conditions in it, which I did provide you guys documentation on that referenced, you know, the gateway plan and screening. When the second approval in 2020, adding the additional 200 parking spaces, was allowed, it was actually situated directly adjacent to the freeway. So it's extremely visible on the freeway. And from what it has appeared, the 96 space that was a little further away, more towards where the athletic club was, those are no longer used. Everything's kind of now in that very focused corridor. And we provided you some pictures from Highway 46 driving by. There was some very it's visible. And is that what the entrance to Paso Robles? We're getting ready to expand. You know, Paso Robles is growing. It's going to be doing its spaceport. It's going to be doing hopefully the landing project as answers happen. And that is the gateway. And have we looked at what the gateway is? Have we looked at what the project was conditioned? on the gateway and how to screen the parking and, you know, appropriately screen for the entrances. We brought it up, you know, knowing the Ravine now has a new corporation that's 2/3 majority owner. And so as a city, it might be beneficial at this point, now that there's new people involved, to do some type of a site visit, document what the actual amenities are. There's been even miniature golf added, which is wonderful, and people love it. But I never saw that on any of the site plans that they submitted. It would always be cut off right at where they're adding their new pool, never showing any of the other items that go on and continue on that property. So perhaps it'd be beneficial to do a site visit, document what is there, document the buildings, document the activities going forward, because overall, it's kind of been 20 years with a little bit of, I think it's approved, I think it was approved in the past, it might be. We asked for copies of building permits to the state. We haven't gotten any from the city. We asked for copies of any of the regional water resource, probably pronouncing it wrong, copies of that are Fish and Wildlife. We haven't seen any of that either. We did get copies of the resolutions, but just to get the bigger picture, and which kind of tells me maybe the city isn't sure. And seeing what we were provided as the temporary use permit, that's not a permit in any way, maybe it would be good for the city to document it to know going forward, and especially if with a, you know, a large new owner that owns 2/3 of it, to know where you're at. Create a footprint and find out what's in compliance, and that way you can enforce code and enforce what you want going forward for this gateway property to the city. Legal occupancy, again, should be really important to have that. And for us, you know, the items that we, again, brought to the Planning Commission and we'd like to see is eliminate the non-approved parking on Pastorals Boulevard. The staff recommended it to be added to the building permit. Now, the building permit is actually ready to issue. If you go on pastoralpermits.com, it says ready to issue. And adding it to a building permit won't exactly put it of record forever. I mean, it puts it if someone wants to go back and dig in a building permit, but I doubt every time these issues come before you, you guys don't open up every building permit that's ever been issued, right? You open up the resolutions, you open up the prior documents. You're not looking at every single building permit. So this condition should, in our opinion, not be put on the building permit, but put on the project. That way it will follow and memorialize with the project. And we also, important would be eliminate the ongoing erosion on our property. Our property crosses over to Airport Road, and so eliminate that erosion, which I believe the city is addressing if that condition is elected, that you guys change around the drainage there and eliminate that, which would be appreciated because it's hurting both Airport Road and our property. And with that, we thank you guys for listening and hearing ours and reading. Okay, and with that, our attorney is on, and he'll talk about the CEQA portion and the items regarding the CEQA. So John Erskine is online with Nossman LLP.
Gwen,
Hello.
Gwen, if you can stand by right there, we'll ask you a question later. Go ahead, John.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Mayor Hammond and council members. This is John Erskine. I'm a partner in the Nossaman Law Firm. We represent the appellant Ranch and Coast Properties. As you know, you should have received our letter, which my partner David Miller submitted yesterday and addresses the staff, the Ravine Park outside council's letter, and your city attorney's assertion that the Ravine expansion is exempt from CEQA. That is absolutely not the case. And it's a fairly simple factual analysis, which I'll summarize real briefly. It's contained in David Miller's letter from us. Basically, the Class 1 exemption involves negligible or no expansion of the existing or former use. The key consideration is factual. Does it involve essentially no expansion of the existing use? The city staff report notes that the Class 1 exemption applies because the project will not increase the capacity of the ravine, of the existing ravine water park. But that's not the calculus. In the January 2026 project description, the water parks consultant, Kirk Consulting, described that the very purpose of the project is intended to reinvigorate the park experience and attract renewed interest from both returning and I emphasize new visitors. In other words, the project is designed to attract new and additional returning visitors who might otherwise not return but for the new attractions. The other point is in the project description that your staff presented tonight, or in the photos, it emphasized the 1,900 square foot new splash pool, but it mentioned the spa on the deck, but it did not mention the 14 cabanas. If adults are coming out there, and particularly those of us who have fair skin and don't want to get skin cancer, we're gonna be attracted to come out there with the 14 cabanas. That's gonna bring more adults. If you look up how many persons can fit in a 1,900 square foot pool, it's approximately 125 to 150 adults, based on our research. But what is not even mentioned is that the construction of this new adult pool and the 14 cabanas is going to require excavation of turf areas, multiple truck trips, which are additional vehicle trips. You're going to have to gunite the pool. There's going to be heavy trucks coming in. We haven't identified any of that in the analysis. We haven't identified where the construction staging area will be. The staff's presentation didn't mention any of that. So I think Gwen did a fantastic job of outlining the concerns and why we think this project is not a, or at least the expansion of the project is not something that is going to benefit the city of Paso Robles in the short term or in the long term. So the other point I wanted to make just real quickly is the Class 3 and the Class 11 CEQA exemptions are barred by the cumulative impacts exception, which is contained in CEQA Guidelines Section 15300.2, subsection B. All exemptions for those types of classes of CEQA exemptions are inapplicable when the cumulative impact of successive projects of the same type in the same place over time is significant. And as Gwen set forth in her presentation, I think over time they have been significant. So with that, I'll conclude and be happy to address any questions.
Thank you, John. Council, questions of Gwen or John? Start off on my right, Councilman Bausch. You're good.
So Tim Gregory. I do have Warren. Could we have their 8 concerns that you had printed up on the board?
I have it right here.
I have it here too, but I just want to make sure it's the same. Thank you. And I have no questions of Gwen at this time. Thank you, Gwen.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Hi. Gwen, thanks for being here tonight. The cattle gate issue, can you describe that in a little more detail?
Which part? I'm sorry?
The cattle gate. Is that being blocked on off of Paso Robles Street?
On Paso Robles Street, correct. Their parking lot that they established off of Paso Robles Boulevard, which Paso Robles Boulevard is a city street. It's where the original bridge crossed, right, that was washed out in approximately 1969. It's not maintained at all. I mean, at this point, because their use, it's become dirt and just, potholed. There was a little bit of pavement left, but obviously, it's not well used, so it's not a good place for city money to be spent. We have a gate there, and so we still have our Black Angus right. Cattle cow-calf operations. And so when they're using that, the parking lot there, people park everywhere. They park up and down Paso Robles Boulevard, both sides, they park in the parking lot. There's a gate there, but people park in front of it. We've hung signs. We posted towing, but the tow trucks cannot get down there. There's a gate that was installed in the middle of Paso Robles Boulevard previously that reduced it basically down to one lane. Fire emergency vehicles, and in years back, I had those conversations, and they can't fit. Tow trucks couldn't fit. So, yes, they're not using it in the velocity that they used to use it, but it's still open use and has been ongoing use.
Would the good faith measure that was described earlier, would that allow regular access to that gate if nobody was parking there ever?
In the good faith measure, meaning that Brett Butterfield offered up? The letter or what Warren had described of removing it. Originally, between the Planning Commission and the appeal, Brett Butterfield did write a very short letter. It wasn't on a letterhead or anything, but said, "I'm removing the parking bollards and we won't use it." It wasn't signed on behalf of the Ravine, which the Ravine is a corporation that he's a one-third owner of. And being not an actual condition put into a resolution, you know, today they could say, "I'm not going to use it," and then tomorrow, like, change my mind, right? It's not enforceable. And so when we asked the city and said, "Well, gosh, can you just make it a condition?" They said, "It's not enforceable unless you do an appeal." And so unfortunately, our purpose wasn't to, you know, come and do a big appeal and have a problem with them.
Right.
It was,
right,
that's the only way to make it enforceable. And it was like, okay, there's a lot of issues here, and we might as well bring the awareness out of what's going on for all businesses, individuals, and developers.
It seems, and Warren, feel free to chime in, with the good faith measure regarding the parking, and if I'm hearing that correctly, that was an elimination or cessation of parking there?
So the staff recommendation is to add a condition that prohibits the Ravine Water Park from using Paso Robles Boulevard for employee or visitor parking or for access to the water park. So if the council adopted that as part of the CUP development plan, that would be enforceable if there was any violations.
If it was adopted as a permit, I believe the staff, it says, would be added as a added to the building permit. If it's added to the building permit, it won't have this enforcement, correct, Warren? Unless it is added to the CUP.
So the recommendation is to add it to the development plan CUP conditions of approval. It'll run with the land indefinitely.
But that would be adequate.
Consistent with that? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Councilmember Brown. Okay. Thank you, Gwen and John.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and listen then to the appellate.
Thank you.
Argument. Okay. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Hammond, Council. My intention is not to shut the water park down or even slow down their operation, although I know through this it's cost them a month. My main intention, as you know, was to not have parking on Paso Robles Boulevard as a matter of record. It sounds like that's what is the direction it's going to go, so that's good. Once I got into it, it just kind of shocked me about some of the resolutions they, you know, the two parking lots, the 96 and the 200, you know, yes, we're complaining about what happened, but it's happened, so it's over. So what do we do to make it the best? Well, I would just ask staff or council, can they make code enforcement and enforce what they approved? In other words, the 96 is supposed to be up here, the 200 is lower, they're now all combined. Also, obviously, you read the gateway, John, you were involved in it. I know Darren, we were all involved in it because I had that ground back then. And that area, that corridor, is the future entrance, the gateway to everything we're doing that's going to improve the city tremendously. The spaceport, the beautiful stuff you're doing at the airport, the landing. So I understand they're not on the hook to do it, but you think I'm hoping that it says they could fix the, all their water runs off their parking lot. There's no curbs, there's nothing, and it runs, it's eroding Airport Road, and it would be to their benefit to fix that, because real soon it's gonna be a real hazard, or the city's gotta fix it. But I'd like it, instead of saying could, will, up to city engineers' recommendation. So I'd like to see that. And then because it's a gateway, when we were doing the gateway plan, there was five recommendations. One was for the council to rezone that property to not allow mini storage, parking areas, and a couple other unsightly items. Well, we've already approved the parking, so I'm not asking to take that away. I'm just wondering if there's a way that possibly we could put some landscaping enhancements to it. And I know the water park people, this new people he's got, his new partners, they do some first-class stuff. It's the benefit of all of us to work on making that better. and getting it back to where it, the way it was approved, 96 here, 200 here. Finally, I've been talking, since Caltrans didn't give us the right-of-way money for the overpass, I've met and I've been working hard because I want to see this airport, I want to see this stuff happen before I'm dead. And so I've been working on some ideas and willing to grant right-of-way. And if we put the bridge where it used to be, which now I think you guys are at least looking at it, we're going to re-up Paso Robles Boulevard, which you already own. I'm going to give you the other right-of-way you need. But once we do that, and all these people going to the gateway, all these people going to the landing, that's the way they'll be traveling. And they'll be traveling the backside of Paso Boulevard along the backside of the water park, which I don't want to piss them off, but it's not the most aesthetic thing in the world. So maybe we could work as a group, and I know these guys are quality people, to enhance it over time, the backside with some type of landscaping, maybe some berming. You know, if I got done a little more right away to get to where maybe we can just drive by and it's sitting down in its spot. I just really think we need to look at that because the gateway is critical. And, you know, you did the plan, John. You had Paul Zoides and all those back in, I think, 08, 09, put this gateway plan together. He was a pretty sharp guy. I think we ought to at least try to get back to thinking about the stuff that they recommended. You can't tell them they can't, I'm not asking, they can't tell them to take the parking away. It was approved. But let's try to
improve it.
Improve it. That's all I got to say. And I'm for recommendation 2, I think it is, where they will agree. I like it to say will improve the shoulder of Airport Road and do it properly. Because right in the statement there, it says unregulated water flow. I don't know any development can have unregulated water flow today. And I think them as good stewards of the area and owning the corner of our gateway, they should be encouraged to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, we'll go ahead and hear the appellate. Come on up, please.
Good evening, Mayor Hammond and council members. My name is Ian McCarville. I'm a land use consultant at Kirk Consulting. Tonight, I'll be providing a brief presentation on our proposed project, and I will address the concerns raised in the appeal. As described in the staff presentation, the applicant is proposing a new pool, spa, and cabanas within an existing, already developed portion of the site. These improvements are intended to refresh the guest experience and enhance the overall park. This proposal is consistent with the water park's original approval, which anticipated phased development over time. Since its original approval in 2004 and opening in 2007, the park has continued to evolve by adding fully permitted attractions to maintain visitor interest and encourage repeat visitation. In recent years, attendance has seen a modest decline, similar to trends of other maturing parks. In this instance, new and returning visitors does not mean an increase in capacity. Instead, it is an attempt to reinvigorate the park and maintain that visitor interest. The appeal can be summarized into the 8 key issues. However, most of these are not specific to the proposed project and instead relate to the existing park operations or prior approved development. The remaining concerns have been addressed by city staff and the applicant, either through written responses or actions taken since they were raised. A number of the appellant's concerns center on the characterization of this project as an expansion of the originally approved use, along with claims that it would result in new impacts requiring off-site improvements or a new traffic study. However, the 2004 approval and the associated site plan, shown here, anticipated phased development of the water park over time as funding allowed. The boundary of the water park has not changed. Importantly, the proposed improvements are located within an existing developed portion of the site, which has consistently functioned as an active use area since it was developed. This includes a lawn and concrete picnic area within the park's operational footprint. As shown on this approved 2004 site plan, this area was designated and constructed as a grassy active use space with supporting walkways. The approved 2005 building permit also identified a flat area for a stage, reinforcing its intended active use. This area continues to function to that same capacity today. Here is an aerial image from 2007 showing the project area along with the rest of the site being constructed consistent with the approved site plans. And while the area has been reconfigured over time as the park has evolved, it has remained consistent with the original approval, continuing to function as a lawn or grassy active use area where visitors routinely gather for activities. The photos shown on this slide and the prior slide demonstrate how the project area has been actively used over time. These include daily use, seasonal activities like summer and Halloween parties, and even community gatherings such as a celebration of life. The proposed project represents an adaptive reuse of these existing amenities to serve visitors already utilizing the water park, and it does not expand its overall capacity. In fact, under the building code occupant load standards, the project will result in a reduction in capacity as the pool accommodates fewer people than the existing lawn and concrete active use areas. Because this project occurs entirely within an established footprint and does not increase the capacity or generate additional trips, there is no nexus for off-site improvements or a new updated traffic study. To date, no evidence has been provided demonstrating that the project would increase the water park's capacity. Another general concern raised by the appellant relates to the use and condition of Paso Robles Boulevard. Over time, the applicant has taken steps to address unintended use of Paso Robles Boulevard by park visitors. One example being in early 2018, when the overflow parking area was constructed across the highway, a no ravine parking sign was installed near the entrance to direct visitors to that new lot. Around the same time, the applicant also installed a gate along Paso Robles Boulevard to restrict unauthorized access and provided the appellant full rights to operate that gate. However, that gate has remained open. More recently, when concerns were raised regarding the use of the rear parking area and the boardwalk during the Planning Commission hearing, the applicant took immediate action. All parking lot improvements, including the telephone pole bumpers, were removed along with the river boardwalk. In addition, the applicant installed gates to restrict the access from this location and submitted a written commitment to the city that this parking area and river boardwalk will no longer be used. Importantly, the proposed project does not, nor has it ever, relied on this road or parking area. The appellant also raised concerns regarding existing drainage infrastructure and potential impacts to Guerrero Creek and along Airport Road. As noted in the staff report and presentation, the culvert draining into Guerrero Creek was existing and permitted prior to the construction of the water park, and no verifiable violations were identified during the city site visit earlier this year. Importantly, the proposed project does not connect to any existing drainage infrastructure and will not discharge into the creek. Instead, stormwater will be managed on-site within the project area using a bubbler system and existing landscape area for on-site percolation. With respect to drainage improvements and road conditions along Airport Road, a detention basin and discharge pipe were permitted as a part of the original application back in 2004 and built in 2007 with the rest of the park. As a part of ongoing maintenance and condition compliance associated with the original CUP, the applicant recently cleaned out seasonally accumulated silt from the basin and repaired the orifice plate on the discharge pipe. The basin has been confirmed to be in substantial conformance with the original design by Wallace Group, who was the civil design group who designed the original basin back in 2007. Additionally, in the coming days, the applicant will reseed the basin with a Slo County approved seed mix to establish a vegetative cover and help minimize erosion potential. These actions were also taken as a part of ongoing maintenance and condition compliance associated with the original CUP and are not associated with the proposed project. Notably, the applicant had also historically been maintaining conditions along Airport Road, but was directed by City Public Works to discontinue those activities as those improvements were located within the city right away. This area represents the primary concern raised by the appellant. To the extent the city identifies any additional maintenance need, the applicant is committed to coordinating with the city engineer on beneficial maintenance activities. Now, before I conclude my presentation, I do have Mr. Brett Butterfield here who would like to share a short statement.
Welcome, Brett.
Hi, guys, gang, girls. Good evening to all of you. I'm Brett Butterfield, and I've been with the Ravine since 2004. I've been through entitlements, construction, ongoing operations. I personally oversee operations every day I go 100 days straight every season. I am there. I am in the middle of that parking lot in the mornings, and I'm in the middle of those kitchens midday, and I'm there at the end of the day to hear hundreds of people every season say, thank you for bringing this to Paso. Thank you for the jobs that you bring. Thank you for the safety. Thank you for addressing elderly. Thank you for addressing special needs. I've grown to love that park, and I love being in Paso. I have had hundreds of meetings with the staff in City of Paso. We had one thing going on the whole time since we've been there, and that is we grew. I didn't know what was going to happen there when we built it, but it grew. As it grew, we were constantly adjusting with this team. You know, people started parking on Airport Road. We had to scramble. I was always hoping maybe something would come available over on the Paso Robles Boulevard side, but no parcels ever did. Over the years, there was many big issues in the city that we always dealt with. I remember when it was the drought. Oh, man, can you take out any lawn? Can you do anything? We did. Then it became the traffic on Airport Road. Is there anything you can do to help us? That's when we purchased the land on Union Road. We had to move quick because we were growing. Paso was growing, but the traffic backed up on Airport Road that we talk about, of which I am there every day, is trying to get on Airport Road because of the traffic that's on 46. That is the dilemma. One big motorhome trying to get out on 46 often can back the traffic up quite a ways. So that being said, I love Paso. We are trying new things all the time. We're trying to stay fresh, as I've talked about before. Where's the bowling alleys? Where's the old roller skating rinks? You know, we're kind of it in the individual independent world for kids. And I'm still there and I'm still all in. I bought that property in 2000. I live and breathe it. I've worked almost every day of this off season to celebrate our 20th year. We've probably are already over 100 charities we have given to this year already. And I think if you look around, you will see that we're trying to be a part of the city. So that being said, this is another idea. That area down there has been being used every year. We've done everything from cornhole tournaments for teens to UCR foam parties for babies and infants. That area has been being used. I actually think there's a very good chance this will be the lightest volume use for that area. However, we're still always trying to think about where is another weak spot we can work on to make the experience better. I am in hopes that possibly being able to get into that pool with a toddler, mom and a toddler for their first time, can put some floaties on them and still water. And my dad takes the 3-year-old and the 6-year-old and goes on some of the activity pools. So that being said, you guys know our story. We're always in touch. Any agency, I tell you guys this all the time, you don't need to ask. We tell anybody, you think you have a problem with our place, come on out. Don't even need to ask. And again, I truthfully love the staff and being a part of Paso. Thanks.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. So just in closing, just wanted to highlight that many of the concerns raised in the appeal relate to the existing and approved conditions of the park rather than the proposed project. Even so, the applicant has demonstrated that they take proactive steps in addressing these concerns and remains committed to working with the city moving forward. Importantly, the appellant has provided no evidence that the project would result in environmental impacts, or that it would increase capacity of the site, or that it would expand the developed area. Instead, the appellant's arguments amount to speculation without evidence and improperly challenge the city's prior approvals relating to the water park. Notably, the appellant did not appeal those prior decisions, including those that expanded the water park's parking facilities, and cannot seek to unwind them now. As we have stated, based on the applicant's firsthand knowledge of the water park, the project will not increase the capacity of the site. It will solely repurpose an existing area to better serve its existing customers. The city can rely on the substantial evidence, as well as the technical information provided by staff and the applicant in finding the project exempt from CEQA. Any allegations relating to the past unpermitted activities is left to code enforcement, and environmental review is based on existing site characteristics. For these reasons, we respectfully request that the City Council deny the appeal and uphold the Planning Commission's recommendation of approval. Thank you, and we're available for any questions.
Thank you. Okay, any council questions real quick from his staff? Anything? Chris Bouch, go ahead.
So I'll ask the same question that I asked Gwen. The amendment, that's going to satisfy and the water park is amenable to that condition?
Yes, we are.
Measured?
For the parking along Paso Robles Boulevard, yes, we are.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and open up then to the public comment on this item. Dale, you're up first.
Dale Gustin, I'm going to agree with your attorney for a change. She said it's exempt from CEQA, and I agree. And that's what the findings of the staff concluded as well. But I'm a little puzzled. This appeal was supposed to be just on the addition. And all of a sudden, the appeal is addressing everything that was related to the original CP conditional use permit. I didn't hear that they were complaining to the staff to do an investigation of the original conditional use permit. But yet they brought it up with this appeal. I don't think that's proper. There's nothing that Brett has not added to that thing that has not been an improvement and an improvement in the safety. He's got a parking problem because he's got a success problem. and he's done everything he can to mitigate that as far as making parking available. And I understand the city's going to use his lot over on Union Road for the July 4th again. That's nice. Brett is a good citizen. And I think you should take option two. The staff has recommended a couple little changes that they find that should be corrected, and it still is denying the appeal with option number two. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I love an appeal, interlocutory appeals, writ of mandate, so I stayed late to watch this. And I'm sorry to the appellant, but I would call this a parking war appeal. I would recommend that it be denied and number two be chosen, simply because I was at the Planning Commission meeting when this was brought forth, and the Planning Commission really reviewed it. They didn't, the appellant said they just said a couple questions. No, they asked Mr. Butterfield, I believe, was there, and they really went through it. It wasn't a quick discussion. They did say that they were not going to use that parking area anymore. I thought that was already decided, so I'm actually kind of surprised we're here tonight. The other things that are mentioned in their appeal, I get it. You know, it's sightly, but my question to the appellant is very simple. When the spaceport is active, when every other attraction grows and builds there, and I understand her business is there, what are you going to do then? Because you can't put the burden on one company because they're large and they have the money to fix a street. I mean, we have that problem with HCD at a private program. They get our money to run a program and they still don't do it correctly. So I would urge you to pick number two. I thought the Planning Commission did a great job reviewing this, and Warren and the gang. Thank you.
Mark, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council, and all staff. Unlike some that say they know Brett Butterfield, other than his family, I know him better than anybody in this room. He's an outstanding young man. I'm a little offended by saying he's not the Ravine Water Park. Brett is the face of the Ravine Water Park. When he had his other two partners, John and Jay, Brett was the Ravine Water Park. To me, this is a little misunderstanding that got snowballed into something it shouldn't have. Brett is a steward of this community. I've known him and his family for over 50 years or so. Good family. Brett loves this water park than anything else. He really loves this water park, and he wants to make things right. And he's one of my true friends that I would trust with my life. I'm serious. He actually helped me through a tough time in my life, and I'm forever grateful for that. But this is what he lives and breathes, this water park. And when you talk about a gateway to the community, I have family in the Sacramento, Modesto area. And when I go visit them, when I get back to Paso Robles and I see the ravine, I feel I'm home. I think, hey, there it is. That's my gateway. And then with my family that lives in that area, they plan every summer to come down to stay at Cava Robles and during the fair. And what they want to do is go to the Ravine Water Park. And when I say family, there's usually 50 to 60 of them. And so that's their big deal, is to come to the water park. Because it's children-friendly, kid-friendly, adult-friendly. And this is just going to add to it. And Brett, he's not the type that likes to talk too much. I'm kind of mouthy. But he's the largest young person employer in our county. And he's told several stories to me in kind of a personal thing, but he actually has had people come up to him after COVID and tell him that they saved their child's life because of the isolation, and he got them back to work. He also, when he says he employs special needs, he puts these young men and young women in a position to succeed, and he always watches over them. And he gets this a lot. And he's also a steward for Paso Robles. Like Dale said, he worked with Frida for several 4th of Julys. Let's park it across the street at his parking lot. He does have a parking lot problem. That means he has people coming to tax dollars coming to our community. So I urge you to either adopt option one or option two. So thank you.
You weren't too mouthy about your last name there, Mr. Perry. Yeah. Mark Perry. There you go. Thank you. There you go. Got it in. Anyone else? Anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. You want to take a...
I'll take a stab at first. Yeah. I want to make comments.
Sure. Okay. We can do
all right.
This.
First of all, I want to disclose that I did have a conversation with the Erskine family and with Brett Butterfield and encouraged a settlement and before the appeal information came out. And I know Brett really well, not as well as Mark Perry does. And I know the Erskines very well, and they're both wonderful families and good community members in Paso Robles. So our intent here tonight is the Ravine Water Park is a critical need for our community because of what it provides for us as a destination and an entity. And it's really important for us to preserve the water park and at the same time try to address the concerns that the Erskines have. So we have a pretty difficult job, but it's not... You heard what Mr. Erskine said when you said there's three things I really want. And if you listen very carefully, it's they want a conditional use permit so nobody else can park on Paso Robles Street. That's number one. Number two was to fix the drain basin going north on Airport Road. And I have a third idea, but I don't want to mention it until we talk about the new improvement of Airport Road. Is there a way to tell me where the Airport Road is going to be going along the Ravine Water Park parking area?
In the future?
Yes.
When it's fully improved?
Yeah.
Well, right now, the approved project that the city is working on is the overcrossing at Union Road, and then the new Airport Road that goes by the new Justin Winery, and then the bridge across Warrow Creek up toward the airport. Okay. That's a $130 million project that currently doesn't have funding.
Right.
So based on that, that would require only minor improvements at the existing Airport Road and the cutoffs of all the left turn moves there. That project, though, you know, is being reevaluated right now with another feasibility study. So it's possible that an alternative project might be selected that might have different requirements on Airport Road.
Okay. Well, I'll come back to that then. I was concerned about the width of Airport Road and the ability to maybe beautify their parking lot as an idea, but I think the staff has done a really good job of answering all the concerns that are related to the appeal specifically. And I'll let everybody else talk about what they want on this, but I think we should think about. And I don't want to spend people's money, but my idea, the only thing that Tom said that kind of rung a bell with me is it'd be nice to have some kind of landscape between Airport Road and the parking lot, you know?
A screening.
Something simple, but that's about it. I think everything else is kind of solved in this, what we have before us. And so I think it's really important to keep the process moving. I'm in favor of approving the denial with condition number two, or option number two, to let the ravine move forward, because they've got their project ready, we got the permit ready, and then find that other sense of whatever would appease the view of, you know, from a gateway. I do want to repeat what Mr. Perry said about gateway, though. I'm the same way when I come back to Paso Robles. The Ravine Water Park is my gateway notification. It's beautiful. The only place it's not so beautiful is when you drive by the parking lot, but, you know, that's here or there. But everything's there. Everything's good. We just have to figure out a way to get to this agreement. I think the denial's appropriate, as long as we get the option two correct.
Okay.
I'll wait for more comments later.
Okay, got it. On the way in, Chris Bausch. We'll come back to Fred.
Thank you. Echo what Councilmember Gregory said. I think the Erskine's concern, especially blocking access to the cattle gate, that's not an everyday occurrence. That's when you're moving cattle around, and I'm sympathetic to that. My family had a small part in cattle operation. So that's important. I think option two certainly takes care of that. I think Brett and company, certainly Mr. Butterfield, deserves an awful lot of credit for what he has done for our community, not just the ravine, but years before that. Throughout his life, I think that was recognized when he was named Citizen of the Year a few years ago. We won't go into too much detail here. I don't want to embarrass the guy, but I think this is a good compromise. So Warren, thanks very much to you and the staff for putting this together. I too would speak in favor of the amendment and denial of the appeal.
Councilman Strong.
Yes, well, I'm in an interesting position, but I think we've already resolved it, frankly. I've known Tom and Gwen Erskine for as long as they've known each other, and we've been very close. I also have known Brett, not as well, but since he was a very young man. And I've known Marie Pope all the way back to before she had the name Pope, and she was an escrow officer. And I know how close she is to the water park and to Mr. Butterfield. So from what I'm hearing right now, I think they can all get along. I think they can work together, and what I'm listening to is it sounds like they're all in agreement on recommendation option two. I don't see any problem with it, except I know that Tom would like that one word changed, and I don't see a big problem with changing the word for that matter. But either way, I'm pretty sure that they will work together and to mutual benefit. And eventually, when the spaceport comes in, we'll have additional problems. And at that point, we're going to have to readdress some of the access issues. But I'm sure we'll be willing and ready to do that, because the water park is Paso Robles as much as almost anything else in it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Fred. Councilman Bale, you're good? I had some questions, maybe to Elizabeth. Maybe she can help me a little bit. The Erskine's attorney, David Miller, was talking about the CEQA Class 1, 3, and 11 exemptions. You've reviewed these that he's raised, and do you have any questionable ideas that we should be talking about, or do we feel we're in good position with this?
I think we are in good position with this. I think the staff's analysis on the CEQA exemptions is correct. I don't believe that the positions put forward by the appellant meet the legal standard necessary. We do have Sarah Osowitz, the city CEQA lawyer, on the line if you need more, if you want a more detailed answer.
Well, I would like to make sure, because I really don't want to get into another lawsuit. If we feel confident, that's all I'm really asking, but if you want to bring him in, that's fine too.
We do feel confident, but Sarah, did you want to respond?
Yes. So I can echo what Elizabeth explained. The staff report that you have before you tonight documents why the proposed amendments to the conditional use permit actually satisfy three different exemptions under CEQA, so belts and suspenders. One is the Class 3 exemption for minor alteration of existing facilities, and it is a negligible expansion, as Mr. McCorkle presented in his PowerPoint. So we are comfortable that it meets that exemption. We are also comfortable that it meets the accessory exemption and the small structures exemption. The suggestion that for some reason there were cumulative impacts was, I think, I'm just a misstatement of the CEQA law. CEQA just asked whether there have been other projects of the same type and in the same place. And we know from all the presentations, even from the appellant, that the current area where the splash pool is proposed has not been subject to development other than in its original form. So we don't have a cumulative impact that would preclude the use of either the minor structures, or small structures, or the accessory structure exemption. We don't have an expansion of use that would preclude the use of the Class 3 exemption. So based on those, we do have substantial evidence to support approval of the project under any of the three, and we don't have any substantial evidence suggesting that we couldn't use them.
Okay. Thank you. I had some questions also, maybe Warren, with regard to, or maybe Leslie, but maybe you can answer for Leslie, the requirement for the retention basin. It looks like they've already done that work, but I was more concerned because I was wondering about the erosion going along Airport Road. I actually had an ex parte conversation with Erskine and Butterfield about this, but I want to understand that the plan to move forward to fix this is in place or has already been done. I'm not sure what the condition is right now.
So the applicant provided you some slides that showed that they have done some work on the basin. That hasn't been inspected by the city formally yet. So the condition, the first bullet on the screen, basically the city would verify that that repair work has been done so they can hold the 1,700 cubic feet of stormwater, which was part of the original 2004 plans. And then the second part would be to work with the city engineer to repair that drainage erosion along the shoulder that is in the right-of-way. It would require an encroachment permit, so it's done per standards, but we could work with them on that if that's the council's desire.
That's quite deep. It's almost, in some areas, almost 12 inches deep in erosion right alongside the edge of the asphalt, and I'm worried about, of course, the asphalt falling apart and such too, but there is a plan of mitigation on that as well.
Well, if you adopt this condition, we will take care of that and make sure that's done prior to the pool permit being finaled.
Okay, so there has not been any plan to do it as of yet, but the direction will be that they're going to have to come back with a plan.
Yeah, the council would need to provide direction if you want to see that happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I have one other thing before I let you take it. I'm good with the Paso Robles Boulevard situation. We definitely want to make sure that that's not going to be used. I think that would be, again, good for both parties. Elizabeth, on item three, you know, to the extent permitted by laws, shall be accepted, these conditions agreed to defend.